announcements. Today we're in the Saturday meeting for people listening. I've experienced the big book in Topeka, Kansas, and we're going to be covering a vision for you today. Just a quick thing I wrote in my up-to-date, I'm not an expert on AA. I don't speak for the group or AA. I'm just giving my experience, strength, and hope as I go through these pages. If I say anything that disagrees with anything in the big book, then just ignore me. If I say anything that bothers you, do an inventory on it and see why. And I hope I'm helping someone. We're in a vision for you, and that's chapter 11. It's the last chapter we cover in the big book, The Directions for Recovery. And I'm really glad we did two employers and family afterwards and two wives. I got a lot out of it. We covered the principles. Those podcasts are available on the site. Vision for you, I studied it in preparation for the meeting. I think I've done it. I've gone through the big book about three times. So 27, so I probably done this 26 times, but I got some more out of it that I'm going to share today. And I'm looking to see how each chapter is laid out. It had a very specific plan. This chapter is laid out. The first three or four pages describe the spiritual malady and then how AA has a power to help you get out of that spiritual malady and the fellowship, and they talk about that. And then they start on page 133, which we'll cover next week. They talk about how the fellowship got started, Bill and Bob and AA number 3 and a vision and the history. And then it ends with a vision of how the fellowship should be and some spiritual principles. It's really a powerful chapter. And it says, a vision for you. So it's a vision for you that was written by the authors. And vision is an act or power of anticipating that will or may come to be. And remember, we talk about a vision for God's will in all of our activities on page 85, that we carry that vision, an anticipation or thoughts on what may come from a vision of God's will for us in all of our activities. And now they're giving a vision for me or you. It says, for most normal folks, that excludes us in the room, because it says drinking means conviviality, companionship, and colorful imagination. Well, we weren't normal with regards to our drinking, were we? And conviviality means friendliness. And now they're going to describe in the next two paragraphs the spiritual malady. They're going to describe suffering from alcoholism. And it starts with alcohol for us means release from care, boredom, and worry. Care, boredom, and worry. Irritable, restless, and discontent. I heard somebody mumbling. It was a release from that. So alcohol released me from worry, from being bored, or from caring about things. And I think that's true. And I hadn't read it that way before. And it's really the bondage of freedom from self. And then it says, it's joyous intimacy with friends and feeling that life is good. So it changes how I feel. Alcohol changed my perception reality. And that got to be very dangerous for me, because as my spiritual malady progressed and I suffered from alcoholism sober, my mind would seek the ease and comfort and the feeling that alcohol gave me. Unfortunately for me, and I know for others, it stopped working at some point, but it was the only relief we knew, and our mind would tell us that we would keep trying to drink and hope it would fix it. And so sober is when we have our alcoholism, and alcohol was a release from care, boredom, and worry, and gave me a feeling that life was good. But it says, but not so with us in the last days of heavy drinking, towards the end. Anybody relate to that? And look at it. Look at the words. I mean, I really got a lot out of this. The old pleasures were gone. There was no pleasure anymore. It didn't work, and it didn't work sober. And we'll talk about that when we open it up. They were but memories. But my mind was damaged. Father Bill W. explained that very well in his talk, that my mind was damaged regarding to alcohol. and alcohol damaged my mind, and my mind would seek alcohol and the relief from it, even when it stopped working. And even when I decided I didn't want to do it anymore, my mind would tell me, good idea. And it was damaged. I couldn't see the truth about alcohol. I could only see what it did for me, not to me. And if that happens to you, you're in big trouble, because your mind will recall what you wanted to do, but you know it's still bad, but you can't stop from drinking. It says, they were but memories. Never could I recapture the great moments of the past. Were the only great moments in my mind. There was an insistent yearning. Look at this. I wanted to recapture the moments. There's a yearning to enjoy life as we once did. Well, I think that's a delusion too. But there was a yearning to be able to be free of the problems with life, to be free of it. And a heartbreaking obsession that some new miracle of control would enable us to do it. There was always one more attempt and one more failure. This heartbreaking obsession, we just talked about it, that I would be able to drink safely or that alcohol would work. And I must have thought that right before I drank, or else I wouldn't have drank. So my mind told me it was okay. In fact, I don't know about you, but when you're towards the end, you don't really think about it a lot. It's just, it's there. The obsession is there all the time. Alcohol, drugs, whatever it is, it'll free me from my bondage of self sober. Remember, we take the first drink sober. And somebody made the point, almost everybody who comes to AA can get sober for a day or two. And it's sober when we drink. And we can't live sober without alcohol. Now we're going to learn to live sober with God and a relationship with Him, and He'll give me a power to live, and He'll give me a power so I don't have to drink, and I'll change the way I see things with God's and not with alcohol. So if I don't feel good today, it's my fault. I'm disturbed. I'm seeing it wrong. I have to change the way I see it. I ask God to help me get close to Him so I can change my perception of things, and then I can be undisturbed. And it works. It really works. It says the less people tolerated us, I guess we had a problem with people. Remember, we're in conflict with everybody and everyone. The more I withdrew from society, anybody do that? From life itself. I withdrew from society, from life itself. And then when I did that, look what it says. I became subject to King Alcohol, subjected to the power of King Alcohol. And I was a shivering denizens of his mad realm. Denizens means inhabitant or occupy. I was in this mad realm because it was insane, right? And it says, the chilling vapor that is loneliness settled down. Anybody have a chilling vapor? Loneliness settled down. We felt alone, chilling vapor, and the thickness that becomes blacker. It just keeps getting worse. And it says it thickened, it ever becoming blacker. It never got better, did it? This is towards the end. They're talking about the end of your time as in suffering from alcoholism, and they're talking how it is with alcohol and without. And it says, some of us sought out sordid places, hoping to find understanding, companionship, and approval. Momentarily we did, and then it said, then would come oblivion and an awful awakening to face the four hideous horsemen. And I wrote, instead of a spiritual awakening with alcoholism at the end, what did I awaken to? Terror, bewilderment, frustration, despair. I never saw that before. We have a spiritual awakening to God, and that gives us peace and serenity. But at the end of alcoholism, I was only awakened to terror, bewilderment, frustration, fear, and despair. And so that makes a lot of sense to me. I've read this many times. His writing is hard sometimes to understand, but the more you study it, you can see it. Unhappy drinkers who read this page will understand. So anybody here an unhappy drinker when they came in here? And I don't want to forget this, because this is sober. This is how I became. And then this is at suffering from alcoholism. This is how my alcoholism became. Then I finally understand this. I think I understand this paragraph now. It says, now and then a serious drinker being dry at the moment. Now they call it dry, meaning sober, suffering from alcoholism without a relationship with God. Says, I don't miss it at all, feel better, work better, having a better time. And it says, as ex-problem drinkers, we smile at such a sally. So a sally is a witty or lively remark, especially one made as an attack or as a diversion or a retort. It's a sarcastic remark to somebody saying something to us. So they're all talking, and he says, yeah, I feel great. I don't miss it at all. It was said in that regard. And it says, we know our friend is like a boy whistling in the dark to keep up his spirits. He fools himself. Do we ever do that? He has a delusion. And inwardly, he would give anything to take half a dozen and drinks and get away with them. He will presently try the old game again, for he isn't happy about his sobriety. Sandy Beach makes that point all the time. If I'm not happy about my sobriety, eventually we won't stay sober. And happy means content with my life as best it can be, no matter the circumstances. And I know some people here are trying to make sure that their new sponsees see that we can be okay in sobriety. And he's going to talk about that in the next few paragraphs, because now he's telling us if you're not happy about your sobriety, you're going to drink again. And he cannot picture life without alcohol. Anybody relate to that?
Yeah.
And someday he will be unable to imagine life either with or without it. That might be the bottom. You can't stop drinking. You can't live sober. You're full of fear. You can't fix it. You're completely defeated. And then we ask for help. And then he says he will know loneliness such as few do. He will be at the jumping off place. He will wish for the end. Very powerful stuff. So they're describing what it's like for us without God, without the solution, without the 12 steps, with untreated alcoholism. It's not a pretty sight. Now, look at the next line. It says, we have shown how we got out from under. You see, that's what the book is all about. How did they get under and away from this condition that we just described? You say, yes, I'm willing, but am I to be consigned to a life where I shall be stupid, boring, and glum? Like some righteous people, I see. Now, I like this. I wrote, how do I know how righteous people see things? And how do I decide who's righteous enough? You see, that's another alcoholic idea. So I think righteous people are stupid, boring, and glum. Is that a true statement? Probably not. But if you're an alcoholic, we make a lot of, I know about you, I can make a lot of judgments that seem to make a lot of sense to me, but they're not true. So I know I must get along without liquor, but how can I? Have you a sufficient substitute? What is a substitute for alcohol? And now here he's going to talk about the fellowship. He says, yes, there's a substitute, is vastly more than that. It is a fellowship in Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, I read this as if you're in a fellowship in AA, what is a fellow? A fellow is sharing a particular activity, quality, or condition. So being a fellow in Alcoholics Anonymous in 1939 mean that you were working the steps. You were working the program. You found the substitute, and it was the fellowship of AA. It was the path to God. That's just what I believe they're really saying here. We've changed that in 2017 when we read it. But in those days, the fellowship was a group of people who were practicing prayer and meditation, quiet time, studying scripture, working the steps, trying to seek a better relationship with God, because God was the answer to their spiritual malady. And so it was a group of people that were sharing that's their strength and hope at that time. And if you do that, and you have this in your fellowship in AA, you will find release from care, boredom, and worry. Now notice, we alcohol was our release on the page before. I never noticed that before. They added these lines, I guess, Thursday night. Alcohol was my release from care, boredom, and worry, and now my release from care, boredom, and worry is God and the fellowship and the program. And there's an important concept here that alone I can't find release from care, boredom. I need the program and I need the fellowship. And we talked about the two powers on page 17, and I wrote about that where it says we're shipwrecked. We're like people who are shipwrecked, and we survived the peril of being thrown in the icy water, and we're saved, and we all hug each other, and we sing songs. And it says, now that won't hold us together by itself, sharing in a common peril. We have to have the common solution. So when they're talking about the fellowship here, they're talking about the common solution and the power of doing it together. And I believe if they hadn't started it that way, we wouldn't be here today. I was reading about the traditions. I'll talk about that later. But, you know, the traditions kept us together, because without unity, we can't recover. And we need unity together. And so I can find release from care, boredom, and worry here. I can find relief from my alcoholism here. I can find it with you and working the steps, and I can find it when I call Mark and he can tell me how I'm seeing things wrong. We help each other. It says your imagination will be fired. Life will mean something at last. What did it mean before? It was just a mess. So what is my new meaning in life? My new meaning now is that I can be of service to God and others. I can have some peace and serenity. The promises will have come true in step 9. The problem will be removed from alcohol from me. I will have a way to see things differently. What a great promise, right? Yes. The satisfactory years of your existence lie ahead. Thus we find the fellowship, and so will you. So this is what we're supposed to find here, a substitute for alcohol. How is this to come about? Where am I to find these people? What's interesting, they wrote this. When they wrote the book, there were 70 people sober. There were 3 meetings, one in Cleveland, one in Akron, and one in New York. And now they're going to describe a little bit about their vision of how AA was going to go about. You're going to meet these new friends in your own community. Near you, alcoholics are dying helplessly like people in a sinking ship. Remember, they wrote this book so you would read it. You could be in your basement in Kansas, read it, work the steps through the book, they hoped, and then find someone to go through the book with. One alcoholic helping another. It's hard to do on your own, but you know they were going to send it everywhere. They couldn't do it themselves, so they wrote the book. Near you, alcoholics are dying hopelessly, like people in a sinking ship. See, he uses that analogy again. Now, one thing I heard this week that made a lot of sense is the problem with alcoholics wanting what we have and wanting to do the steps or needing to do the steps are two different things. A lot of people need it, but they have a delusion and they don't see that they need it. And this guy made the point that a lot of alcoholics, especially when they come in here new, they don't see really how bad their situation is. The people on the outside, but they don't realize they have a fatal illness and how bad their situation really is. And if they don't see the truth about it, then they're not going to follow through. And it says, near you, alcoholics are dying helplessly like people in a sinking ship. If you live in a large place, there are hundreds. Think how many alcoholics there are in the United States. There are 300 people, 10%, could be 30 million, 25 million people. These are future fellows of Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, when you become a fellow of a society, it means you pass. I'm a fellow of the American Society of Oncology. I'm a fellow of the American Society of Hematology. What it means is that I took a test and I passed the requirements of my training and the test to be considered a member of that group with a certification. And so to be a fellow of AA, you have to, I believe, they're saying you need to have what they had, work the steps, have had a spiritual awakening, and sharing that experience with each other and with the new people. It's different than just going to meetings. Now, that's just my interpretation. If somebody doesn't like it, fine. And so I think to become a future fellow of AA is more than just going to the meetings. It's doing the program of recovery, both things. And then you're a fellow, and then the new person comes in and you take them through the book and the program, and then they become a fellow, and then they take someone else through it. Joe and Charlie describe it as the old timer versus the new timer. Newcomer, the old timer is just someone who's done the steps. And then the newcomer comes here, so the old timers will help them through the steps. Remember, we walk step by step through the path of spiritual progress. Among them you will make lifelong friends. I think that's true for me. I like this. I didn't see this before. I will be bound to them. Tied together. I'm tied together with people in this room. New and wonderful ties, for you will escape disaster together, and you will commence shoulder to shoulder your common journey. It's just like page 100, which is very powerful. And if you want to go back, I'll read it again. I've read it 18 million times. But it's really made a, it starts the top of page 100. It says it's my recovery is not dependent upon people, it's dependent upon my relationship with God. And then it says, both you and the new man must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. If I persist, remarkable things will happen. When I look back, I realize the things which came to me when I put myself in God's hands were better than anything I could have planned. It's a great promise. It's true for me. If ever I have any day where I'm, you know, in a tizzy about some crap, I have to get back to this and be grateful for where God has put me today by following the path and being in his hands. It's better than anything I could have thought of. And it tells me if I follow the dictates of my higher power, the directions, I will live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what the circumstances are. You're not dependent on circumstances to be happy anymore. You're dependent, the world's new and wonderful if you're just following God's guidance and direction. And then, so let's go back to page 153. I like this few lines, and we'll open up in a few minutes, and then people can talk. It says, you will know what it means to give of yourself that others may survive and rediscover life. Isn't that what it's all about here? That's what it was all about for them. And then it says, you will learn the full meaning of love thy neighbor as thyself. And I love myself by doing for others, doing God's will. And it says, it may seem incredible these men are to become happy, respected, and useful once more. Remember, our primary purpose is to fit myself to be spiritually fit, so I can be of maximal service to God and others. And so that's one of the main themes of the big book, is we use the relationship with God to serve others, not ourselves, not our selfish motives. How can they arise out of such misery, bad repute, and hopelessness? And here's the answer. The practical answer is that since these things have happened among us, they can happen with you. Now, I'm not an expert on scripture or anything, but Joe and Charlie, on their last talk, they talk about Saul on the Damascus Highway and how God zaps him off the donkey and how God gets his attention. And he says, Saul, I want you to change. And if you do these things, you will be changed, and this can happen to you, and you'll be Paul. And I believe it's one of the themes of the big book is that we're reborn. We're not the same people we used to be. We can change our personalities, change the way we see things. We can become useful again. So that's how I see that thing. And since it's happened, when you come in, I knew it happened to Mark, so it could happen to me. And it's happened to me, so it can happen to you. And it happened to Ryan, so it can happen to someone else. And so the meetings, the fellowship is to bring people together who it's happened to bring hope to those it hasn't happened to. And then it should you wish them above all else, if you want this, and be willing to make use of our experience to be able to work the steps, to be able to do the program, because this book is just their experience of what they did, we are sure they will come. The age of miracles is still with us. Our own recovery proves that. My recovery is a miracle. It's a miracle, isn't it? And the other thing that I do some days is I'm not as grateful enough for what God's given me, just the miracle of my life, of my sanity, of my sobriety. Anybody do that? Sometimes we forget we get involved in things. And here was their hope, is that when this chip of a book is launched on the world tide of alcoholism, so that's what this book was to do, was to launch this program of recovery on the world tide of alcoholism. Defeated drinkers will seize upon it. Now they're going to seize upon it to do what? To follow its suggestions. Now it's suggested that if you're a mess, like they just described, that you seize upon the directions in here and you do them. many, we are sure, will rise to their feet, march on. So we're going to march together in this spiritual path of progress, having done the deal together. They will approach to other sick ones, one alcoholic helping another, and the fellowships of alcoholics may spring up in each city and hamlet. It happened here. We started this meeting 9 or 10 years ago. There's me and three other poor souls or whatever, and we're here today. And actually, there were more than three, maybe four. But that's how we do it. That's how one alcoholic working with. I know people in here who came in who've worked with other people, and they've worked with other people. It's great to see the sponsor sitting with their sponsee, and then that person sitting with their sponsee. I mean, what could be greater than that? Fellowships of AA may spring up in every city and hamlet, havens for those who must find a way out. In the chapter, working with others, and that's what this is, it's a haven. We want to remember that. We want to make this a place where people can come and feel safe and be offered the solution. Suppose now that through you several families have adopted this way of life, you will want to know more of how to proceed from that point. Perhaps the best way of treating you to a glimpse of our future will be to describe the growth of the fellowship among us. And now next week we're going to pick up how Bill met Bob. And I listened to Dr. Bob today describe his meeting with Bill. And so it's very interesting. I got it on, I think, XA Speakers. 1947, Dr. Bob and Sister Ignatius was on it. It was really good. So we'll open this up for people to share about this this vision. I think it ties together really everything they were trying to say in the book. And then next week we'll pick up with the history of how we came to be. Just want to add one thing that I forgot to say, that He describes the spiritual malady and how we hit and get destroyed by our alcoholism. And the doctor's opinion makes the point that we're irritable, restless, and discontent, and we seek the ease and comfort of alcohol. But the truth is that I'm always irritable, restless, or discontent when I'm in untreated alcoholism, when I'm back in self. And so there's never a point sober without the program and the steps that I have peace. And I have peace today because I'm seeking a relationship with God, and I'm trying to live in steps 10 and 11 and practice the principles in all my affairs. And so that's another point that ties together what we read today. I'd like to also thank some of the people who are listening. I noticed that there are a lot of listeners in Japan and some other countries. I'd like to give you a shout out, and also I'd love to hear from people. My email is mhurwitz50@gmail.com. I really appreciate it. Have a great day. Thank you.